Daniel Deronda, the ward of Sir Hugo Mallinger, whom he believes to be his father, has saved Myra, a young Jewish woman, from drowning herself in the Thames. Meanwhile, Gwendolyn Harleth, whom he anonymously rescued from gambling losses in Europe, has married the rich and arrogant Henley Grandcourt to save her family and herself from poverty. This in spite of the fact she knew Grandcourt had a mistress, Lydia Glacier, by whom he had children. Diamonds, which Grandcourt had once given to Lydia, were returned on his marriage and given in turn to Gwendolyn.
Deronda is here.
I'm almost ready.
Don't hurry. He's chatting with your mother.
And smiling his ironical smile.
If you mean he thinks a little too much of himself, I agree. But I thought you'd never met him.
He was never introduced to me. Someone merely pointed him out at Loibron. What business is it he has with you?
That emerald at your throat.
Don't you like it?
Why don't you put on the diamonds instead?
I don't think so.
Are they in here?
With this dress, Henley, I'd...
I have what I wanted, you know.
What do you mean?
Take it off. Good. You mustn't be reluctant to wear these. Never mind how valuable they are. They were my mother's, then mine, and now yours. Yes? Gwendolyn?
What?
You'll permit me to fasten them on you. Bow slightly. You see, I didn't look for a wife who'd be all tenderness, all solicitude. And the earrings. You do have some things still to learn.
Don't!
Sorry.
You know I won't be kissed under my ear.
I forgot myself.
It's a mere annoyance.
Just as you wish. No, I've never had the taste for those women with a too willing obedience. But in you, I have what I wanted. A wife whose pride and spirit were made to command. And this, as your crown, to command all but me. So, shall we go down?
When I've fixed this correctly, my hair, yes.
Mrs. Grandcourt hardly remembers me, I'm sure.
Oh, but she does. From a mere pointing out.
I remember because I knew you didn't approve of my playing roulette.
How could you come to that conclusion?
Because you cast an evil eye on me.
Gwendolyn, what a thing to say.
I mean only that when Mr. Deronda began to watch, I began to lose.
You'd been winning until then.
Strikingly.
£200.
Is that so?
But she lost it all again. And there was I at home, penniless.
An evil eye, indeed.
The look only meant to say that he hoped I wouldn't risk the loss of more. Am I not right, Mr. Deronda?
I was as likely to have been pondering the mechanics of the game itself, which was new to me.
Unflattering. There was I, the Empress of Luck, and Mr. Deronda ponders mechanics. No wonder I began to lose.
Deronda, if Mrs. Davalo will excuse us, perhaps you and I may take a stroll in the garden and get our business out of the way.
Yes, and Gwendolyn and I shall take tea. Be mother and daughter confiding again.
How could I not be happy, Mother? Look around. See these at my throat?
Yes, dear.
Do you think Mr. Deronda's happy?
Mr. Deronda?
Well, he has no mother to comfort and guide him as I have.
Not one ever known to him.
Do we know her?
I've heard only that she was foreign. A foreigner of quite high rank.
Oh, that might explain his features. They don't have much of Sir Hugo Mallinger in them.
He is rather fine-looking.
Puts me in mind of an Italian painting.
Which painting? Titian. He was Italian, wasn't he?
Do you think Lady Mallinger knows that he's Sir Hugo's son?
She knows enough to satisfy her.
I suppose she must.
Mr. Deronda does live with them.
And I suppose men often have children before they're married.
I hope they do not.
You think Mr. Deronda's an exceptional case, then?
Yes, I do. In England, at least.
Of course. Mr. Deronda is an exceptional Englishman.
You might just give my farewells to your husband yourself, Mrs. Grandcourt.
Oh, no, please wait. I'm sure he'll be out in a moment. We hear the Arrowpoints have finally condoned Catherine's marriage to Herr Klesmer.
Yes.
I'm glad. There was no real misalliance there.
If there were, I'd say it was on Klesmer's side.
You see, it is the immortal marrying the mortal.
I wouldn't put it quite like that.
I'm sure Catherine will burn before him all the incense required.
You think a wife should burn incense before her husband?
If only to make others believe in him.
Shh, there we are.
I can tell you're fond of horses.
There was a time I was besotted with them. Tell me, Mr. Deronda, did you think it was wrong of me to gamble because I'm a woman?
Mrs. Grancourt, I assure you, your playing roulette was no great offence to me.
Now tell me.
I admit I've a distaste for gambling.
Because one can become besotted with it like a maiden with horses or a drunkard with his wine?
Yes, and because no one can win unless another loses.
As in life, young man. Sometimes in life our gain is another's loss. We can't always help that.
No, so we help it where we can.
I knew that's what you'd think. May I speak another of your thoughts?
Please do.
Your distaste for gambling is greater when it's a woman who plays, because you wish women to be better than men. Whereas we want men to be better than men. You see? I'm not the shallow, spoiled girl you imagined you were watching at Loibron.
I never for a moment thought you shallow.
It was you who redeemed my necklace, wasn't it?
Deronda, sorry to have kept you waiting. This place is like a battalion to manage.
Mrs. Grancourt has kept me perfectly amused. And I may tell Sir Hugo his suggestion is not unwelcome?
Not unwelcome, no. I'll discuss it with my people, and he should hear from me soon.
Excellent. Then good day to you.
Good day.
Mrs. Grancourt.
Good day, Mr. Deronda. He's quite an uncommon young man, is he not? Do you know he's taken some wandering Jewess under his wing?
A Jewess?
Yes, isn't it romantic? He's found her a place to stay with friends of his in London. Now he plans to find her work as a singer and a singing teacher.
More romantic than his business with me, which was to pass on Sir Hugo's offer of £50,000.
For what?
For me to give up my claim to the Diplow estate, so that when Sir Hugo dies, there'll be something for his widow and daughters. Something, too, I suppose, for his uncommon young ward. Did you think Deronda was above such things?
Are you a saint, Deronda? Are we sinners blessed by your presence?
Don't rave, Hans.
And don't rush food like that.
You save a beautifully tragic Jewess from drowning, and you bestow her on us, on me and my mother. We are blessed.
How was your time in Rome, Hans?
Rome can wait, it's eternal, but you may not be always with us, and I must bear witness.
Hans, you blaspheme.
But although one can hardly imagine this man having an unsaintly thought, wisdom advises caution.
Wisdom and caution in Hans Merrick.
I've seen him look tenderly on women and talk to them in his sweet Jesuitical way. Dangerous.
Be gone, Hans.
Maybe he's the kind of Lovelace who'll make Clarissa run after him. How is the lovely Mrs. Grancourt?
Be gone.
I'm going. Will you come round to my studio later, sly Jesuit?
Your studio? A room you wouldn't have but for Mr. Deronda.
I'll have my own place soon, but you must see the work I'm doing, Daniel. The seed of immortality has sprouted within me.
A fungoid growth, no doubt. A crowing disease of the lungs.
Oh, by the way, there's been a change in Myra since you saw her last.
What change?
A change brought about by me.
Are you going or not?
You save her from drowning. You bring her here to the best mother in London. You set about finding work for her, but already I've done something for Myra you will never do.
And what's that?
I made her laugh. Come see my paintings, Jesuit friend.
I believe he does work sometimes.
I'm sure he does.
And he has been good for Myra.
I'm glad. Has she been well enough to tell you any more about her family?
Yes. Her father.
Oh, what about him?
You know, he took her away when she was only a child. To Europe. Theatres. All over Europe.
He was a writer and translator of plays, was he not?
Yes, and a drunk and a liar. He told her her mother was dead. Lies as vile as that. You might think that's as bad as a father could be, but Lapidot was worse.
In what way?
He said he thought she might make a great singer. He said she might make an actress. It seems always he thought she might make money for him.
I see.
Do you, Daniel? She remembers some painted actress once offering her a glass of wine. She'd be about 14 at the time, she thinks. Not offering, forcing the glass to her lips and saying over her shoulder, "What market does Lapidot intend for the daughter?" What market, Daniel?
Dear God.
And then, a year or two later, there was a count. This man, her father said, was as kind as he was rich.
so kind, he'd set aside rooms in his house which Myra could treat as her own, where she would have all that she liked. This was in Prague, I think.
It was from Prague she escaped.
And this so kind, so rich count would pay off all Lapidot's debts.
She did escape, Mrs. Merrick.
Mrs. Merrick?
Myra, come in, dear, come in. Look who's here to see you.
There were times when he was drunk, my father. He'd go so far as to join in when others mocked our faith. No race like ours, he said, for cunning in the men and beauty in the women. And then at other times, he'd come home to me and weep and clutch and be ashamed. I often think of him like that, gentle and ashamed. And he's a clever man, an educated man. He did his best to educate me. And still I'm afraid.
Afraid?
I'll turn a corner, and there he'll be.
Did he practice his faith at all?
No. Never. But I remembered. I remembered my mother and my brother and the singing.
I visited a synagogue when I was in Frankfurt. The singing was...
What, Mr. Durander? It's very beautiful, isn't it?
Very foreign to me, but yes, beautiful. And it means so much to you, I can tell it does.
I suppose it means my mother and my brother. I suppose it's what I am.
Yes. Maybe we can find them for you.
Daniel, in London. Myra says even the house she lived in is gone.
We can try. Lapidot. It's an unusual name.
But that wasn't our name then. My father used it for the theatre, because it was unusual. And he said it had been our family's name in Poland.
What was your name in London?
Cohen.
Cohen? You're going to find a Jewish Cohen in London. That's like looking for an undescribed terrier.
The brother's name is Ezra.
Oh, well, that narrows it down. Ezra Cohen. What do you think?
These legs will never do.
No, public men are often shaky about the legs. And this is Agrippa. It's one in a series of five telling the story of Berenice, the Judean princess who was the lover of the Roman emperor, only to save her people, of course. Racy story. Sublime art. Perfect mixture for me.
Well, you've got the story part. Now you've only to work towards sublimity. Where's Berenice?
No, I'm saving her. Saving myself for her. Soon. I'll begin soon.
We tend to think of Judaism as a kind of eccentric, fossilized form, don't we?
Do we?
But it's not. Think of Myra. Her faith's alive. Real. As real as she is.
And she's splendidly real.
I had a strange experience in Frankfurt, in a synagogue.
What on earth were you doing there?
Listening. There was such yearning in it, and such devotion.
To the congregation, it was probably just another dull routine.
Then I felt a hand on my arm. An old man. White beard.
And the chosen nose?
He seemed to think he knew me. Asked who my mother was.
Ah.
What was her maiden name?
What did you say? Oh,
I told him I was an Englishman.
So you are.
So I am.
Which reminds me, how is the essence of English womanhood? Gwendolyn, you did see her recently, didn't you?
Briefly.
Only briefly. No long, lingering look this time at your, what was it, problematic sylph?
I was there to see her husband on business for my uncle.
Henley Grandcourt. Now there's an Englishman. I like these legs. Are you going?
Yes.
To see the chief rabbi? Well, wouldn't that be the best way to start? To find a mother named Cohen with a son named Ezra and a missing Myra?
It would, of course, be the best way to start. So why then instead do I wander the streets among the common Jews, linger by synagogue doors at times of service, look into shops, give secret glances to every face I pass? Why this aimlessness, this hesitation? Because who can escape knowing ugly stories about Jews?
And the name, Cohen, as ugly as a yellow badge. She believes she is sure her mother and brother were good. But that goodness might lie only in her own ignorance, loneliness, her own yearning. An unknown mother and dread. They're forever linked in my mind.
Hello? Hello?
Leibengeschichte of Salomon Maimon.
Sir, I didn't see you there.
Have you read it?
No, I've read an account of it.
Which made you wish to read it?
How much is it?
How much would you give?
Don't you know its value?
I don't know its market price. Do you have an interest in Jewish history?
I'm interested in all history.
And Jewish philosophy? What is your name?
My name?
You are of our race.
No, I'm an Englishman.
Ah, an Englishman. Well, you're in the shop of another Englishman, Mr. Jacob Ram, who is at his dinner at the moment. I'm sure he'd be happy with an English half-crown.
Fine.
Thank you.
Sir, I wonder if you know...
Yes?
Well, I was asked to look into a pawnbroker's shop somewhere near here. There's one across the street with the name Cohen above the door.
Yes, Ezra Cohen. Ezra's a good man.
Ezra, yes, that's the name.
It's not a bad ring, sir. Not a bad ring at all. I know stones. Trust me, I know them all. And this is not a bad ring. And you yourself, sir? A first-rate gentleman in the city? That's my guess.
No, I've nothing to do with the city.
But a gentleman of distinction, that I'm sure of. As sure as I'm sure this isn't too bad a ring. I accommodate all here, sir, from the humble little woman who needs her ready for the baker to a gentleman like yourself who may want it for amusement.
You've been in the business long?
Oh, born to it, sir. And there's no trade as more honour, charity, necessity. I like my business. I like my street. I like my shop. Wouldn't have it a door further down.
A family business, then?
Oh, me and the little mother, and the wife, of course. Shall we say...
No brothers or sisters?
No brother. Oh, Mordecai, good evening to you.
Ezra, and our young Englishman. You found Ezra, then?
Thank you, yes.
You all right, Mordecai?
I'll see you at supper, Ezra.
Now, the sweet cake tonight... I don't mind him, sir. He does stare. Not sure if he sees what he's staring at. And you were asking for me?
You'd been recommended to me.
I won't pretend surprise.
I asked Mordecai the way. I didn't realise he was of your family.
Oh, he's not. He lodges here. It's charity again. He used to work here, but now... Well, he's not to be long with us. You can hear it in his voice.
He seems a remarkable man.
Oh, he's much remarked on. A talking point round here he is. But he brings a blessing on the house, sir, the little mother says. Anyway, sir, the ring. What were you looking for?
I don't know, 50 or 60?
Oh, couldn't do you that. Couldn't go the length. Happy to oblige with 40? Happy to oblige.
You must be careful, Daniel.
I am, sir.
It's all very well to be the rescuing hero.
There was nothing heroic in it. I simply offered her a place to stay.
And Mrs. Merrick's a most respectable woman, Hugo.
Well, I know that, Constance. And that's excellently done. But this roaming through Jewish streets looking for her family, there are all sorts down there, my boy.
Why don't you do as your friend suggested? Consult their local, what do you call them, panjandrum?
Chief Rabbi.
Yes, some of that sort are quite scholarly and proper, are they not?
Anyway, enough of the Jewish question. The grand courts are to be here in a day or two. Maybe that sloth of a man would at last accept my offer. What did you make of his bride, Daniel? Has she risen well?
You'd think she'd condescended, not risen.
If it can be called rising, to take a man like that with his Gadsmere and his Mrs. Glacier and that handsome little boy...
What?
Constance.
What about Gadsmere? Who's Mrs. Glacier?
Oh, didn't you know? I thought if I knew, everybody knew.
Many did, Constance, but the wisdom was to let it quietly be forgotten.
I'm sorry.
Grand Court has...
He has another household at Gadsmere, a widow.
With two children?
For how long?
Oh, must be 10 years.
Since she left her dying husband for him.
But she doesn't know. Could she have known? Before the marriage? Her revulsion overcome by the urgency of poverty? No. She must have woken afterwards to find she'd wedded fresh hopes to old secrets. This might be the key to understand her. Beneath her boldness and wit, a double, triple-headed grief, self-reproach, disappointment, and jealousy. One may gain by another's loss, she said, and not be able to help it. Was there more than flirtation in her manner, with her as-in-life young man? A need to confess?
Can he know? Uncommon as he is, no doubt mannish gossip reaches even him. But my urge to explain to him, to justify... It has so overrun itself that I feel that if he doesn't know, I must tell him myself. This girlish agitation. When I see him tomorrow, perhaps even dance with him, I must be seen to bear this last great gambling loss with striking, elegant self-command. But stylishly bold. It seems after any marriage, friends of the groom pity the bride, while her friends pity the husband.
Well, I see in your resplendence and grace, my dear.
Hugo.
No reason to pity.
And for my husband?
Oh, envy, of course. Plain, old, aching envy.
Mr. Deronda, I mean to dance with you. You are the youngest, and I must have contrast.
Paintings, dear, and the ceiling, the chandeliers, and this carpet. It's even grander than Ryland's.
I've seen brighter cutlery.
And it's all to be yours.
Sir Hugo is sprightly, Mama. He may outlive us all.
She was on the stage in Vienna, but she's given that up.
She wishes now to teach.
And she's been expertly taught herself.
There will always be ladies with daughters in need of teaching.
You have a choice of ways to attract such custom. You make your fees very cheap, or make them very dear.
Mrs. Arrowpoint. Well, her husband was one of Nelson's men.
A hero, Mr. Grandcourt?
A doctor's son. No real blood there.
Pure English blood. I wonder if either Leech or Lancet could provide such a thing.
Is my daughter not... Is she not quite...
Oh, indeed. Indeed, she is.
Mr. Deronda's young songstress. She's known great misery, I believe.
She came near to drowning herself in despair.
Oh, how pitiful. And what prevented it?
Daniel will say only, she came to see it could be good to live.
Then she's not to be pitied now.
What in God's name is that she's wearing on her wrist?
The dress is from Paris. My Gwendolyn's dress. It was ordered from Paris. Lady Malinger carries that dog around as if it were part of her dress.
But a very pretty one.
A Jewess, just the same.
Her klezmer's a Jew, is he not? He does not too badly. I'd been thinking he might teach my youngest daughter. But now Daniel has Miss Lapidot.
Certainly the girl will be less expensive.
And more melodious, one would hope.
I think I can justify it.
There's really no need. It's past.
Gambling, when one is not besotted by it, can be justified when it relieves the dullness of the world.
But don't you think sometimes the world's dullness is only a reflection of the same in ourselves?
Oh, I see. Any fault I find in the world is my own fault.
Not any fault.
I know you find fault with the world, with other people than yourself.
Of course.
When their gain is your loss. Your own words.
In life, young lady, that can't always be helped.
And this finding fault, in even such a watchful and ironical soul as yours, could it deepen into loathing, do you think? Grow into hatred?
These are extreme words.
Mrs. Grandcourt, will you come out with your husband and me to see the stables?
Oh, I can never resist the company of horses.
Oh, the creatures themselves are neither many nor first rate, but they are housed in splendour. One of the oldest parts of the abbey, an ancient chapel.
So he and I walked together, across a court of gravel and grass and islets of snow. Is his silence as cold as those islets? We follow my husband, his indolent stroll, and the jaunty gait of Sir Hugo. My companion's father? What old secrets are here? Through the cedar door in the ivied wall, and the roof is so high and vaulted and cobweb dark, and from the high dusty windows, still glazed in crimson and orange and blue and the palest violet, soft light falls on sleek brown and grey flanks and on their faces, mild and wise. It is glorious. This is glorious.
Yes, it is fine, isn't it?
You take off your hat, Deronda. Is it to the horses?
Well, and why not?
Why not indeed?
If I genuflect in here, it's to the money the beasts have cost me. Oh, they go deep in the pocket, Grandcourt, do they not?
What's a gentleman to do? He must have horses.
And I know you're too good a judge to be impressed by anything here. But me dogs, now. There's nothing there to shame me. I come and see them. Through here.
You must love this place very much.
Yes.
Your childhood home. Have I offended you?
Offended?
By using so lightly such extreme words, hatred and loathing. Do you forgive me?
Mrs. Grandcourt.
Isn't this a good setting for forgiveness? Stained glass light and horses. They make it just the place for Gwendolyn Harleth or Mrs. Grandcourt to confess.
Perhaps we should join your husband.
Do you know what I might have to confess? Oh, you see the old Gwendolyn boldness. I've injured someone, Mr. Deronda, and her children. I swear I didn't mean to.
I'm sure you didn't. And now, perhaps, you can lessen the injury and help them.
Now that I'm Mrs. Grandcourt, perhaps. But so far, that fine lady gets up in the morning and does as other ladies do. It's like a dance or a charade all set down before me.
Lives often seem determined, restricting. Isn't the answer to look beyond ourselves, to look outward?
You move so youthfully from actual to ideal. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. My confession is, that's what I look for, a harmony of actual and ideal.
Which makes you an exceptional young Englishman.
Am I still too youthfully abstract?
No. You're... What are you? 4 whole years older than me.
Gwendolyn.
Yes?
Are you with us?
Yes, of course. Of course I'm with you.
When we get back to Ryland's, should we invite Deronda there again?
Why?
You and he get on so well.
Not really. He makes me feel years older than I am.
You won't want him there, then?
I doubt if he'd come. His mind's on higher things than what goes on at Ryland's.
He liked your bracelet, I hope.
My bracelet?
This hideous thing.
It was my father's.
The necklace you wear on your wrist. It's the one you lost at Loibron, isn't it? Which someone redeemed for you, and which you wore tonight for that someone.
Let me go, Henley.
Vulgar, girlish signs Henley. And signals. Am I hurting you?
No, but please let me go.
In a moment.
You may have all the understanding you want with Deronda. I don't give a damn. But you're my wife, and in public will behave accordingly, with adult dignity. Yes?
Of course.
You'll answer to the rain, Mrs. Grandcourt.
Your foolishness.
After all, if you pull away too much, behave too cultishly, the boy might discover just when you learned about my secondary place. Now take it off.
This won't do, Hans.
The legs again?
No, the model.
Well, I told you I was saving Berenice and saving myself for her. The figure I imagined had to be the most beautiful Jewess in the world. And now I've found her.
Does Myra know?
I could have painted that face from memory. But she was happy to sit for me. She had to struggle not to laugh.
Does she know how Berenice lived?
Of course. Well, ladies' edition.
Hans, Myra may well be moving into very respectable company as a teacher. If the parents of some of her pupils see her represented like this...
My friend, thank you.
For what?
I am a genius, and as such expected my work to lie neglected until I'm dead. Now you tell me the moneyed multitude will be gazing upon it in no time. But it's no use. I can't help myself.
Hans...
A true artist must paint the face he adores. Oh, Deronda's reproving look.
Myra will never marry a Christian.
Marry? Well, I'll convert. Promise.
Don't mock, Hans. Her faith to her is...
What?
Actual and ideal.
A philosophical title, is that?
I mean, her faith is what she is.
And the vulgar, comical pawnbroker you found who might be her brother, is it what he is?
You're heading for a fall, Hans.
I was born to fall. My limbs were made breakable. My eyes a resort for uninvited flies, and my heart and genius to find my Berenice. My Myra. Daniel, how was your Mrs. Grandcourt? Your Gwendolyn?
Good day, Hans.
Mind you don't fall out there.
He changes like a flame. So wonderfully quick. I don't think I saw anything like him in any theatre in Europe.
Since university, people have been telling me they've met nothing like Hans.
Do you think his paintings are good?
If his industry ever equals his talent, he might pass.
I think he's like a brother to you.
He's my oldest friend.
Yet you're so unalike.
That's often the way.
You don't have a brother, do you?
No.
I wonder if I do.
I'm still looking, Myra. What is it?
I think my mother's dead.
What makes you think that?
I don't know. I feel she is.
But you don't feel that about your brother?
I don't know. And my father.
What about him?
Now that I'm safe, he's my only fear. Isn't that a terrible thing? To be afraid of no one but my own father. I turn a corner and he says my name. Did Mrs. Merrick tell you what he'd planned for me?
Yes.
And isn't that a terrible thing?
Myra, you are safe. You have Mrs. Merrick. You have Hans.
And you.
Yes, and me. And soon you may have a brother again. Already you're teaching French and German. You could well be teaching music, too. Lady Malinger's talking to many of her friends about you. You're building a world, Myra, that your father could never find his way into, even if he tried. And there's more.
What?
You've heard of Julius Klezmer.
Miss Lepidot, you have no voice for great tasks. You are no skylark. You must be modest.
Yes, sir.
But you will shake my hand.
Sir?
Take my hand, please. You are a musician.
Oh.
Myra.
That's like Turner saying you're a painter.
First Lady Malinger, now her klezmer.
Yes, the sentimental and the sublime.
No high roofs, drawing rooms only. A few of those well chosen and lessons will follow.
You'll choose the drawing rooms, Herr Klezmer?
With Myra's permission.
She will make an income then.
If she works hard, yes.
She has me as an example of artistic application.
She will work, Herr Klezmer. She's an angel.
No, she's not. She's an educated Jewish girl with talent. Why give angels credit?
Miss Myra Lapidot, musician and teacher.
There are always daughters to be taught.
Even daughters of the rich, if she can bear that.
What's wrong, Myra?
Must I be advertised as Lapidot?
Well, Cohen will hardly do. Sorry. But it won't, will it, Herr Klezmer?
Stat magni nominis umbra.
The ghost of a great name.
Well done, Myra. But Lapidot does compel.
Are you afraid it might attract someone you don't want to see?
You mean the old theatrical scoundrel? He won't turn up. And if he does, well, look at the friends you have around you now.
I wish Mr. Deronda were here.
But he's not. He's off Cohen hunting. Which means he won't hear you sing another for us now.
The sky has a monumental calm. A widespread clearness. But here below on the river, its reflection ripples, is all movement and current, and the blackness of that laden barge becomes colour as it moves to meet me. All is luminous change, a restless, living response to the stillness above. And there, on Blackfriars Bridge, where I'm to land, there, looking over the parapet, looking down at me, still but for the raising of a hand, illuminated.
Mordecai, good afternoon to you. I was hoping I might see you today.
That's why I came to the bridge.
Why you came?
I often come here. Watch up river.
I'm on my way to Ezra Cohen's. Then I thought I might look into the bookshop, see if you were there.
No, I'm here. As you are.
I've read most of Maimon's book.
I come here at sunrise or sunset and watch upriver.
For what?
Sunset is better. Like now, I stand and watch for the stars in the deep heavens and watch for the man I've imagined so long.
What man?
I don't know why I thought he might come by the river. I don't remember where that vision came from. I think it came when I knew I was dying. You know I'm dying.
Yes.
Good. The simple yes is good. The fading sky is my own decline. And so much work to be done. So, if not I, then another.
What man do you mean, Mordecai?
We might say he was born in my imagination. That he was an ideal. But I knew he would become actual. I don't know how I knew he'd come downriver.
You can't mean me.
You've come in time. My work and I shall live in you.
Mordecai, I don't know anything about the work you're doing. And if you've been hoping for someone to carry it on...
Yes?
Well... I would guess you'd want him to be Jewish.
Are you sure of your own beginnings? How did I know that?
Mordecai...
The same way I knew you'd come downriver. And now, you go to Ezra's and whatever business you have with him. Then to the Hand and Banner.
Where?
It's a pub. Ezra will direct you. We'll talk there.
Well, sir, excellently well, thank you for asking. She and my wife and all my tribe are this moment at the Crystal Palace. A grand day out for them all, and thanks to young gentlemen like you, I'm a man that can pay for it. And here, sir, is your ring.
Thank you.
And the 40 did its duty, did it?
Yes.
Isn't business the business? It sees you through your tricky time and it sees my tribe all the way to Kent for fun and games and education.
I hope your mother won't find the crowds there too pressing.
Oh, not her. She's as lively now as 10 years ago.
It's strange.
What's that, sir?
Well, I've been thinking of a Jewish mother lately.
Well, they're worth a deal of thought.
A young lady I know, a Jewish young lady. She hasn't seen her mother in many years, and now she's become convinced her mother is dead, with no factual reason for believing so.
You're an honest young man, sir.
Honest? I hope so.
Oh, you are. Because now, when you tend towards hints and quizzing, it's in your voice like a blush on the face.
I'm sorry.
Jewish mothers and daughters. And last time it was Jewish brothers and sisters. Would the question in your mind be about the sister I don't have? If it is, there's no answer here. Forgive me, sir, but it's a story we won't have told again.
We seem to have stumbled into a misunderstanding.
Jews and Christians often have. My counsel's tolerance, courtesy and healthy business between us.
Yes, well, thank you again. Oh, by the way, Mordecai said you could direct me to the Hand and Banner.
Mordecai? You're to meet him there?
Yes.
Mordecai. Now there's a question to have in your mind.
I praise no superstition. I praise the living fountain of belief.
And am I to quarrel with that? But look round. The Jew becomes part of the population he lives among.
I look around, Pesh, and I see a nation enriched by our presence.
Well, indeed so. But that word, nation, nationhood, won't that whole idea die out?
It must not.
That's the order of the day, Mordecai. It's progress.
Israel is degraded from a nation, and you say, so be it, let it die. Degradation and death are progress.
What's your alternative? Restoration to Judea by miracle, as some of the rabbis prophesy?
By no miracle. By rationality and persuasion, by the revival of the organic centre, so that the unifying spirit of Israel be made an outward reality.
The ideal made actual.
Amen.
Good, Mr. Deronda.
Amen.
Mordecai's in need of an ally. He'd rather a disciple, but an ally to share drink and debate. That'll do to go on with.
Well, it's a simple historical fact, is it not? Nations can revive. Look at Italy or the Arabs. They're being inspired with new zeal.
Oh, here's an ally, true enough, Mordecai. He'd enlist our old friends, the Arabs, to your side. And Mordecai? He's gone.
Gone?
Oh, don't worry. It happens. He withdraws. He'll return in a minute or two. But I can't spare those minutes. You don't have to stay either, Mr. Deronda. They look after him here.
I'll stay.
Oh, good man. And I hope you'll come back for another session with us.
I hope so, too.
Well, good evening to you, then.
Good evening.
And Mordecai, shalom aleichem.
Mordecai? Can you hear me?
Are you a rich man, Daniel?
Not rich. Well, I have more than I need.
I'm not going to ask you for money. No. I want much more than that from you. Although, perhaps one more drink before we go?
Of course. Another wine, is it?
I do think you're rich enough not to need to pawn a ring. That transaction was a way for you to enter the world of London Jews.
Mordecai, it's a delicate matter. Not mine to discuss.
It's all one. You were drawn here, as I was drawn to the bridge. Do you know the Kabbalah?
Very little.
It suggests that souls may be born again. When a soul is freed from a worn-out body, it may join a fellow soul that needs it still in the living world. Call it a metaphor, if you wish, for study, for the acquiring and transmission of wisdom. Call it a metaphor. But it's what I ask of you. When my soul's free from this, not diamonds or guineas, a union of souls, a spiritual marriage.
Well, Mrs. Grandcourt, your answer to the rain. But still you've learned little more. Have you nothing to say? I'll sleep next door.
Yes, do that.
Open your eyes. I won't be here in the morning.
Will you not?
Lush will be to look after things while I'm away.
You said I wouldn't see him again.
He's useful to me. You need only be civil. What are these? Descartes, Bacon, Locke. You're reading these?
Trying to.
Why?
Some things I do want to learn. To look beyond myself.
I know that voice. Did he recommend these?
No one did.
He'll be at Lady Mellinger's musical evening tomorrow night, I suppose, with his pretty Jewess.
I expect so. Do I have your permission to talk with him?
I don't give a languid damn who you talk to.
So long as I maintain the proper dignity. Well, I'll be a good Mrs. Grandcourt. All you wanted. In public. I take it you won't be there?
Good God, no. In fact, I may spend tomorrow night at Gadsmere.
Oh, Gadsmere.
A gentleman has duties. As does his wife. Good night.
The gracious Mrs. Grandcourt. Why so uneasy with her?
Uneasy?
When you were on that couch with her, your teasing Duchess, your foot was tapping my leg.
Hans, if I was uneasy at all, it was for Myra. This must have been difficult for her.
Well, I knew she'd do well. While you've been visiting pawn shops and Yiddish taverns, I've been hearing her practice. Time and entrancing time again.
Fortunate man.
Fortunate indeed. Look at her. Can you blame me for loving her?
No, but if you're careless with her, I may blame you black and blue.
Is there still a chance this dreadful Cohen you found is a brother?
He's not so dreadful. Certainly not stupid. And Mordecai respects him.
Oh, well, approval from the mystic heights. You still hope he's not a brother, don't you?
Daniel, Daniel, my boy, you were so, so right. Little Myra's a treasure.
Your singing was splendid, Miss Lapidot.
Thank you.
I'm sure you'll find lots of pupils, myself included, if you'll have me.
I'd be honoured, Mrs. Grandcourt.
You haven't been in England long?
No, I'm relying on Herr Klesmer to make introductions for me.
And Mr. Deronda, of course?
Yes.
He gave the impression you were a dear friend of his. You met him abroad, perhaps?
No, in London. I was poor and needed help, and...
Yes?
I was in despair, Mrs. Grandcourt. I owe Mr. Deronda everything.
Is that so?
Mrs. Grandcourt, excuse me. May I take advantage of your husband's absence and fetch you a glass of something? Old rogue that I am.
You conquer all before you, Berenice.
Hans, Mrs. Grandcourt.
What about her?
She's asked to be my first pupil.
The Duchess?
Isn't it wonderful?
It's a triumph. I wonder if you'd sit for me.
You'd like to paint her?
Yes, just as she is tonight. But without that, whatever it is.
What?
That clumsy item around her wrist. Bit of a wrong note, that. Looks like a knotted necklace.
Mr. Merrick.
Yes, Lady Mellinger.
Perhaps you'd like to try this gingerbread, if you'll allow me to take away one of your glasses.
As a matter of fact, he's at Gadsmere.
Gadsmere, yes.
You know the place. His secondary place. You may answer. I have my husband's permission to speak with you. Oh, forgive me. I think I must frighten you sometimes. I frighten myself, you know.
Daniel, my boy, my congratulations.
She did very well, didn't she?
Myra? Oh, excellently well. But my congratulations are for the quality of the smile you receive from this lady. Oh, far exceeds what I could win. No. I retire.
Poets. They're always making tragedies about some chap signing his soul to wickedness to get something plummy in return. Well, here's my idea. A tragedy about a chap who signs himself over to the good. And does he win a plum? Not him. He lives uncomfortably ever after.
A romantic idealist.
Indeed, indeed. But he's just not dressed for it.
Dressed for it?
If he was roaming Rome or even Greece, all fine and well, in a toga or a tunic, but Whitechapel in shiny shoes, how could you be an ideal romantic and dress for dinner with the white tie and all? And he's got it into his head, this Mordecai's momentous, fated, but he's not.
You met him too?
No. But if Daniel will stop and think about it, there's a mundane logic to it all. It's all chance and logic. Go backwards, and what do you get? From momentous Mordecai, back to Mordecai in pawn shop digs, to Daniel in same pawn shop asking questions about someone else altogether, Cohen with maybe a sister, Myra with maybe a brother. Myra on riverbank, Daniel in his boat.
Myra on a riverbank?
Daniel in a boat. Mrs. Grancourt.
Yes?
If I were not already entirely in love...
Mr. Merrick!
Sweet lady!
Will you take... coffee, Mr. Merrick?
I so wanted to do well tonight.
And you did, Myra. Three pupils already.
I wanted it so for your sake.
For mine?
After all you've done for me. And then to sing here, in your home, with your own family.
Oh, here he comes.
Another of your family, I take it. He's been missing you terribly.
I knew he'd escape before the night was over.
Poverty, Daniel. Poverty and poor clothes.
What about them?
They're not always a sure sign of inspiration.
Well, they've gone together before.
True. In my case, for one. And Jesus, of course. But he chose his poverty. Whereas this queer Israelite, whom you think so momentous...
I don't know if he's momentous. I do think he's a remarkable man. And he may be... he may be what I've been looking for. Hans?
The souls of men have been gifted with discernment and resolve. But today, men say, don't ask me to choose, don't look for purpose in me. That is today's blasphemy. But I say, the sons of Judah can choose. Choose our heritage, claim the brotherhood of our nation, separate, but in brotherly communication with the nations of the Gentiles.
The sons of Judah. Mordecai, it's true there's some ambiguity about my birth, but I'm convinced my father is an Englishman, a Gentile, a Christian.
What is Judaism, Daniel? It is merciful to the poor and the weak, as you are. It has reverence for mankind, accepts our animal needs, but would find ideal form in which to express them. Is that what you seek? Judaism would bind families in dutiful love?
Mordecai, my father won't even give me his name.
And I haven't known my father since I was a child. So, in early youth... I left here to seek, what, a more profound fatherly love in our homeland. I would go east to our homeland, but I got no further than Trieste. A letter came from my mother, a letter of two lines. Ezra, come home. He has taken my daughter from me.
Ezra? Your name is Ezra?
And Ezra came home. Turned his back on his homeland and came home to be with the mother, who prayed every day for 3 years that the daughter would be delivered from the father's evil. Only 3 years. And by then, When I was alone, my own health was broken. I could no longer hope to travel.
And was she delivered? Your sister?
I don't know.
Mordecai, Ezra, which is your name?
Ezra Mordecai Cohen.
And your sister? Mordecai, what is your sister's name?
Myra? Myra, don't you know me?
Of course.
I knew I'd find you.
So did I.
Did you really? And look at you. You seem to have done well for yourself.
I have good friends. They found work for me.
What work?
Music. I give lessons.
Music lessons? When I had landed you an engagement at the Vorstadt in Dresden? How could you turn your back on that? How could you turn your back on me?
You know why, Father.